Hello, heroes, and welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot. I'm James D'Amato, your host and Game Master. And heroes, I am technically filling in for our interim host and Game Master, Tracy Barnett, who is on leave because they just had a new baby. And we were supposed to have an episode last week, but I did have to attend a family funeral. But we're here now, baby! And so I don't keep everyone waiting. Let's get to monsters and other childish things.
I think Rahul probably is like, wait, but Sefi, hold up, but there's a panel that's happening soon that we wanted to go to. Remember, it has all of our, it's all of our favorite voice actors that we're going to talk about the new upcoming thing that's happening. What's this about fighting? What?
And Gabe, since you were unsuccessful in convincing Rito to like back off of this thing, I think that your giant gnarly bird is like flitting from sort of poster covering to wall scroll covering, following after Scythe, because Rito's gonna get in on the throwdown.
And it's got like big like huge condor wings, so it's like three like whoomph, 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 and it lands just like heavy.
And most people don't notice. Like, you get the occasional person who like glances over, but it's always like, boy, the HVAC must be fucked up again this year. Like, it's just not, because monsters don't give themselves away necessarily. For Max, I think that.
Well, I think for like really quickly, I think there was a moment where like there was that moment of tension before this new monster showed up, and as I saw like Rito start to step forward into attack, I kind of like stepped forward to position myself between Rito and Scythe. But then like that immediately didn't mean anything because they immediately started moving off to fight this new person. And so I'm kind of just standing there like ready to defend against nobody because the bird has like flown over me and people have moved around.
And I think that Tabasco, like,
yeah,
a little proboscis like comes out from the keys on it and like taps you on the finger. Hey. Humans like to fight, right?
I mean,
we should go watch. And that guy is cool. That guy's dressed like an anime. Maybe we can be the soundtrack. We can provide the music. We can be the soundtrack for the show.
Yeah, if people are gonna fight, they're gonna need music, and we can make that happen. You and I, we got this.
Yeah. Let's go.
And it's like, not a fight if there isn't music.
And like I don't know as a narrator of this game how to describe a tuba that you are wearing, urging you forward, but that's what's happening.
So I think would it make sense at this point to let Tabasco walk on their own? Because I think that maybe, like,
I mean,
because we're in,
there's make sense, and then there's make sense. So like, you can definitely do that. I am curious as to how Maximum Monday is going to justify to the people around him that his tuba is ambulatory.
Okay, so maybe I don't do that. Well, that's more interesting. That's the coward's way, is to back off of something.
And we're not cowards upon this.
Yeah, we're
podcast.
We're not cowards. No.
Are you sure? Of course.
It's a robotic.
So he, I think that what happens is like, once we're like, yeah, we're gonna go off. It's time. And like, I see that like Rito is flying around. There's like just monsters walking around this place left and right. And so Max like just hefts the tuba or sousaphone or whatever it is off his back and like kind of like swings and slides it along the ground and it spins a little bit and then the tentacles more pop out of this like these like gooey kind of tentacles that then lift it up and so it stands up on its own. And maybe there's I have taped on, or I have like screwed on to the bottom of the tuba some like skateboard wheels. And then I have some kind of a remote, like, so it kind of, the tuba kind of looks like the robot tuba thing from the anime.
Whoa! And so it's I've a got full like a super dimensional Band Revolution cosplay, man.
And so I've got like it's got to be just like a fake, like stupid, like Nintendo Power Glove that I've like made look like it's plausibly a remote control.
Yes. Oh, that,
but it's like okay. It's way too small tech for this era. So anyone who like spends too much time thinking will be like, "There's no way that works."
Well, and that's the thing about monsters is people don't really spend too much time thinking about them. They just see something that they it's somebody else's problem field, right? Essentially, yeah. Mm-hmm. except it's okay. Plausible deniability. So
yeah.
So yeah, you totally. Get that going, and like the little tentacles are like urging you forward and like yanking on the cable to the glove, and Rahul, like they're all just kind of wandering off following this little girl looking monster.
I think I feel like I like the look of it is almost like Rahul is like kind of standing, and then like you're the camera's like from the back, and it kind of does like the hallway zoom where people feel like they get really rack far away. Yeah. And it's like, guys, I kind of look down at my little game boy, my DS, and I'm looking at Revoltage. I'm like, Revoltage? I thought we were going to hang out at the anime convention. I didn't even know we were going to be fighting.
The little pixel art avatar is like sitting in a corner and it has mushrooms growing on it.
Yeah,
that's a super anime reference.
Yeah,
it means he's sad.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was gonna say
because mushrooms grow in the dark, and when you're sad and in the dark and alone, you're growing mushrooms.
Mm. Okay,
I didn't get that either.
Do you want to go with them? Like, I'm kind of unsure. I would also, Brandon, you want to come in? Because I'm, like, looking, my face is, like, in my DS screen.
Yeah, I think Gabe, like, took a couple steps after Rito and then, like, froze. And is, like, trying to calculate through, like, how to do this and how to figure this out. But it's just, that's not his specialty, is figuring out how to, like, get away from a problem. Like, he'll handle a problem. Avoiding a problem is not something he's great at. And so he's just like, okay. And he, like, comes back, and I think he's just going to, like, grab Rahul's arms a little bit and just be like, hey, listen, if mom and dad figure out that I brought you to an underground fighting ring, they're gonna kill me. But if we don't get Rito, he might actually kill somebody. We'll get this done quick. We'll figure out what's going on with this quick, okay? And okay. we'll get you to the mango. Alley.
Yeah, it's the Midnight Feast voice actor panel. They're gonna talk about the new movie that's coming out.
Yeah, that one.
Mm-hmm. Fruits of Paradise. I'm really looking forward to it.
It's gonna be good, I'm sure. Don't worry, I'm getting you through this. We're gonna be okay. All right. Stick by me. And
like a little electrical jolt comes out of the DS and like wraps around your wrist, and you know that Revoltage is like there for you as well.
Oh, yeah. This is good. I think like I want like a moment of like I kind of like reach to try and like hold your hand, but then I look around like we're in like public and we're around a bunch of adults, and I think I like kind of reach back and I'm like, no, okay,
yeah, but then,
I gotta
then
do
Gabe
this.
Takes your hand.
Let's go.
Yeah, like he's like pulling away and just like, you know, goes and like reaches to grab and just like gives it a squeeze and goes like, all right, let's find Max. We're getting you, me and Max. We're getting out of here. We're
getting, out of
getting
here.
This done and we're getting safe. How do you know that guy? And we start like walking towards him.
You all proceed through the convention center and the little girl gets to a door marked employees only. And just pushes it open, and the back hallway. I'm sure that at some point in time we've all been in like the back access hallways of a really large convention center. Yeah. They are absolutely the most non-Euclidean spaces that exist because somehow you can get into all of the rooms that have external access and you can load in tables and chairs and, you know, tablecloths and whatnot, and it's wild. When you all sort of cross the threshold into this hallway, you bodily feel like you're in another world, because there's a magic about a convention, even a small local whatever, right? It's everyone's there for a purpose. Everyone's there for a reason. And when you are in the behind the scenes, it feels different. And that magic is kind of stripped away.
Also, it's definitely 30 degrees hotter in the back room.
Yeah, absolutely it is. The AC, there's no AC back here.
What do you think is funnier for Rahul to like whisper under his breath, just like level 2 or warp zone?
Level 2, I think, is the way to go for this.
So good. Level 2.
Mm-hmm. And you hear the DS plays like challenge, like battle music. and you've got that kind of underlaying this montage of you all sort of walking through these halls, and it seems like it takes way longer than it should. None of you knew that this place had a basement, and you definitely didn't know that basement had a basement, and you really, really were surprised that the basement's basement had a basement. But you get down there, and it seems like you're walking through spaces that have way too many pipes covered in foam for anyone's good. There are...
It's a weapons locker, I see.
There are, like, I-beams that are, like, support structures for, like, the entire convention center that are, like, way too low. There are...
Thoroughly disappointed, by the way.
There are I-beams. It's like, motherfucker,
there are I-beams?
Cyclops is here?
Unfortunately, I think that like maybe the little girl actually turns around and just says, "Watch out for the I-beams," and then like it's just a piece of metal running across the hallway, and all of you are as disappointed in character as you were with me in person just then.
We all put up our guard as best we can. Watch out for the I-beams. We're like, "Not on my watch." Oh, you mean a beam?
And then there's one more door, and this one has like. Anyone who is in your position would think it looks like the X-Men logo. It's like a circle with a red circle with an X painted on it.
Yeah.
And the little girl monster gives like a really complicated knock sequence on it. And it opens up into a room that is impossibly large, impossibly loud, and impossibly humid. And in the middle... down what looks like sets of stairs, almost like there's a makeshift coliseum in here, there is a brightly lit square where two monsters, one is a mass of tentacles, the other one looks like it could have been from what's the robot anime, Nurse Galaxy 4.
Of course.
It looks like a Nurse Galaxy 4 mech is fighting this tentacled mass. And as you're staring there, this other teenage boy sort of walks up and drapes his arm around the little girl monster, looks up at you and says, "What are you looking at, buttheads?"
I'm not used to in-person confrontations, so I'm frozen solid.
I pull out both of my drumsticks and like point them dramatically to get, and I'm just like, "Who are you calling a butthead?"
"Name's Tiff Bannon. I'm calling you a butthead, butthead."
"Well, you should be calling me Max Monday, because that's my name. Butthead's not even a good name."
Your name tag says Maxie.
"Well, the person at the front gate was also not good with names. Maybe you two should hang out."
You got to the word gate, and you could tell that this other teen is not paying attention to you anymore. Looks around the group of you, like passes over Niall, because Niall is sort of frozen in place at this point in time. Looks at Rahul and just sort of like shrugs, and then turns to Gabe, obviously the larger.
Yeah, Gabe is not tall by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. He's... But But he's older. Definitely got like older face. Yeah. Like, you know,
just gave him facial hair.
Oh yeah.
Or like it gave like trying to grow out a really bad.
Yeah, Gabe's got facial hair. He's got like a little bit of the mustache and like on the chin like a little bit and kind of like sideburny things coming down.
Cool.
And like a mop of hair, like a mop of dark hair as well. And he just steps forward and says, like, gravels his voice, and, oh, can I use my sharing ability?
Ooh, what's the sharing ability?
Or does it have to be an attack, or can I just use it visually?
Well, if it is useful, tagged, then you can...
Oh, it's not useful.
Then, no, it is, because it's a monster thing, right?
It is just an attack.
Yeah, it is just an attack.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't think of that ahead of time. That's okay.
And you didn't give the swallowing things whole to that. So no.
As great as it would be to devour this child.
if you want to use the massive hornbill teeth, then it's going to be a full on attack.
I need to bite him. Yeah, okay. I'm not looking to bite him yet.
Keep in mind, this kid is standing next to his monster.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to bite the monster either. So I think I step forward and go, what are you, 12?
I'm 13.
Dang.
And
all right.
If you're not...
Go watch a princess robot thing.
You walked in here.
Come on, get moving.
And it's time to fight, fuck, or hit the fence.
Whoa, he said fuck.
What the fuck?
You said fuck. What? Holy shit. Yo, this kid means business.
Word.
Oh my god.
And you all are reacting to that. And Scythe goes, I am here to fight.
Oh, thank God. You said Rito goes, for a second, Scythe. I was terrified.
And Rito goes, yeah, boss, I'm here to fight too.
Oh, thank God. I'm okay with that.
One fight. Max looks at Tabasco. Like, what are you here to do?
We know what Tabasco is here to do.
We know.
John Philip Sousa ass march just starts coming out of the tuba's the tuba's bell.
And Niall whispers, that means fight, right? That means fight.
That means fight, oh, right?
I think so.
I pray to God.
Oh God.
I'm pretty good. It's a weird slime tentacle monster in an anime convention. We really can't.
He wants to know about people.
What?
He wants.
Okay, we're addressing that later. What do we need to do for you to go collect some cards with little monsters on them?
Well, I think you're gonna fight, aren't you?
I think, yeah.
I mean, not you, but
okay. And he just like puts up his fist.
He's so ready.
Like the monsters, like Pokemon. Like we're gonna stick our monsters on each
other. What's with this guy? Your monsters are gonna fight.
No,
dumbass.
Wow, you are.
Say it again. Hey, say it again. And he just like starts like stepping up.
Are you taller than this kid?
He's 13. I'm probably like a little bit taller than him. Like not as much as like a 16-year-old probably normally would be.
So he steps up to you and it's like just like looking up at you just a little bit. I think your mouth is probably like at the bridge of his nose, so he just cocks his head up a little bit, and you notice that the little girl is like still next to him, and he leans up and rests his arm on her on the top of her head. Dumbass.
Oh, fuck him up. Fuck him up.
Rito.
Yeah, F him up.
Rito. And he just gives like a little whistle.
What's up, boss?
We're up next. Oh. And he just like grabs the kid by the back of the shirt. And he's just gonna like dog walk him down.
Okay, so this is to pull this off, this is gonna take a roll. Let's take a look at some
I figured probably.
Yeah, let's take a look at some stats here and see what kind of action this is gonna be. No, it's not put down because that's a face move. This is a physical thing.
Is it wrestling?
Yeah,
it's gonna be guts plus wrestling, I think. And it's going to be an opposed roll.
Grabbing, hold, and squeezing.
Yep. So you are going to be rolling against Tiff Bannon's guts plus wrestling as well.
All right.
So it's just a roll off.
Ooh, I have zero matches.
And
oh, no.
Tiff got 3 5s.
Oh shit.
Oh no.
So you go to like, you know, grab him by the shoulder and the arm to try and bulldog him down there. And before you can even get your hand on his shoulder, he dips. And we've been over this. You've taken Taekwondo. This kid's at least a brown belt. Because, like...
Oh, shit.
Taekwondo's not really a grappling kind of thing. But if someone gets their hand on you, they're going to do their best to get it off of them. And then...
Mm-hmm.
So he does. He dips and pushes your arm out of the way and just pops you in the solar plexus real quick.
Oh.
just enough to knock the wind out of you. But what it's going to do is it's going to take your guts down by one. Actually, five? No.
Okay.
He hit you in the five, so that's going to take your hands down by one.
Oh, no.
Can I?
My hands is my best stat.
So
like, is this a fight? Like,
so
is,
no.
Is
so like... so he does that, and then he steps back, and he looks at the other three of you. He's like, "This guy really is a dumbass. You're not here to fight me. The monsters are here to fight. You can register over there. You can sit down in the crowd and keep your hands to yourself."
I guess if you're too scared to fight us, you can let the monsters do it for you.
Yeah. I'm trying.
So that's
Max immediately stepped up behind Gabe.
Yeah, all right, Max. So if you want to talk this, if you want to intimidate this kid into actually fighting you, then that is a face plus put down roll.
Okay.
Yeah, which completely looks like it's right in your wheelhouse.
Well, I have no put down, but I do have four face.
And he is going to oppose it with a guts plus courage. So not
we're like, this is the monster fighting game. We're gonna be kids.
Well,
wrestling
I mean, it's
in
also
the back
it's
of an
also it's also the kids, you know. So
yeah.
All right. Pair of eights.
I got two ones.
He got eights. So the thing is, when you get a set right, you do succeed, but he succeeded more than you did.
Yeah.
So. He sort of like looks at you and says, "Look, you're not worth my time. You saw what I did to your buddy there. If you want to cause a scene, it looks like these guys," and like indicating Rito and Scythe, "are raring to go. I would absolutely love to wipe the floor with you, but I've seen what happens when a monster doesn't get what it wants, and none of us want that. So, I'll tell you again. Registration is over there, and the seats are that way." And he just turns around. And as his monster follows, her body turns to follow him, and her head keeps staring. And she does the eye thing, right? Points to her eyes and points to like all of you. But and backwards. Then her head slowly rotates to match her body.
Ah.
At this point in time, you've got your breath back, Gabe. That damage is called a shock. It's just a temporary thing. Okay. It's not long term, but for the rest of this scene, until you have a chance to like really recover, you're going to be down one for your hands.
Cool. No problem.
I think we have a moment right. as you're catching your breath, or like as you start to catch your breath, because Max is standing there next to you. He's going to just like kind of like pat you on the shoulder. And he's like, "Do you see that? I had your back. I don't know. We don't know each other very well, but, if you ever need someone to fight next to you, you know, I'm there for it. I'm like, your brother's good people."
Thanks, Max. You're a good kid.
He's talking shit.
Talking shit. And
sorry.
Taking a cheap shot. And yeah, we'll get him. We'll show him. All right, let's go register.
Yeah. So what kind of a theme song are you thinking? Like, do you think that Rito has? Is it more of like a Rune Adventure Doctor Saviors, or is it more of like a Guy Sweeper Maids? Like, is it more jazz? Is it more action? Like, it's gonna have. I'm sorry, it's gonna have tubas, but because that's like really that's
this is what I'm working
that's
with.
That's what we're working with. But like something to get you hyped, because like you if you're gonna fight, you gotta have a theme song, and like that's what I can help you with.
That's true.
I think getting hyped is the opposite of my problem right now. And he looks over at Rito, who's just like puffed up and like raging, like ready to just throw down.
Hey heroes, it's James, your game master, and welcome to the mid-roll. Heroes, in 2023, I have a new RPG accessory product coming out. It's called the Ultimate RPG Campfire Cards. It's designed to be used with any role-playing system to help strengthen the bonds and deepen the relationships between your player characters in a way that's easy and fun, whether you want to make it a part of your session or play around with it when not everybody can show up to the table. It comes out in August, but you can pre-order it now by heading to bit.ly/ultimatecampfire or bit.ly/campfirerpg. And if you're interested in it at all, I urge you to pre-order now. The more pre-orders we get, the more my publisher and retailers know that people are interested in it. I'm really hoping this will be a big success because I want my publisher to make more games. Not just books about games, but actual games themselves. And showing them that this can be successful is a big step towards that. As always, heroes, we have to thank our backers on Patreon. Without you, none of this would be possible. And your contributions on Patreon support so much on this network. Our supporters are the reason that you're listening to this show right now, and also the reason that Tracy can go on leave. And frankly, the reason I was able to go on leave when I welcomed my new baby to the world. We are unbelievably grateful for your support, and we're excited for everything we're going to bring you in 2023. Speaking of exciting things for 2023, our Patreon-exclusive Starwall campaign is starting up again. I'm going to try and move us onto a bi-weekly schedule for it. That is, every other week. For those that don't know, Starwall is our space fantasy game, inspired loosely by a setting that rhymes with bell grammar, but it's using the playtest for what will be the Skyjacks role-playing system. So if you're interested in that at all, you should check it out. It stars myself, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, Drew Merzieski. It is an all-star cast, and we play a lot of characters. You get access to that campaign at the $5 level or more. So head over to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and sign up to support to get that and so many other rewards. Now, before we get back to the show, a quick word from our sponsors. And with all that out of the way, let's get back to the show.
Yeah, the wings are like unfurling, and this is when, as well, as we're approaching the fight, narrative control of your monsters is going to shift over to you because you are going to be handling them during the combat that's about to happen.
Okay, cool.
Boss, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to rumble. This what's he got? He's got a piece of metal. Look at these teeth. These teeth,
they're good teeth.
They're gonna rip him a new one.
Wait till the ring.
I tell you what. He's gonna these rings. Look at these eyes. You see these eyes? It's the eyes of a killer.
I know it. And like, I think at this point, there's like a little moment that it becomes clear that Gabe is like, Gabe loves Rito. Mm-hmm. Gabe is coming to a point in maturity that he's like starting towards getting ready to not have a monster.
Yeah.
And I think there's like a little bit of discomfort that like that he has this monster that like is so vicious.
It's that feeling that there's something empowering about having a monster when you're younger. Right, yeah. It's a sense of agency in the world,
yeah.
That you are best friends with a being that will literally kill for you because it doesn't understand the consequences of human death, right? And yeah. As you're getting older and you have like you just got your driver's license, that's not a small thing, and the sort of weight of that responsibility when placed in contrast with this bird is like it's a really kind of stark comparison. And for just a second, like Rito feels that flutter because you have an emotional mm-hmm. connection, and then like he kind of sort of shakes his head back and forth and like shrugs it off. But yeah, no, there's something going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Rahul you feel like a little electrical tap on your shoulder as like Revolta just is trying to get your attention. And on the screen, it just reads high scores with a question mark. Like Revoltage wants to track who the best of the monsters are.
Oh, I'm going to introduce a quality of Rahul that I haven't, that I just thought of, but it's canon. Because I mentioned that Revoltage is like the trump card of the TCG that he's making up, right? That's just all like illustrated on index cards. Like he just buys stacks of index cards and draws them all on there. I think he's like pulled out a stack of index cards. It's like, Revoltage, we're going to need to track some stats as he starts like trying to be like, oh my god, look at that imaginary monster. Like I'm turning them into playing cards.
Fantastic.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's great.
I think I might even, like, if I could pull Niall into this, I'm like, Niall, like, because maybe we talk about this, I was like, what do you think the power levels of these things are like? You know, I'm trying to see if I can add them into, like, battle monsters. Oh, well,
if we're going on the metric that was established in Bad Ramen, they would be, they would be at about 16, which is high, but on a Metal Boy Battler, that is about 10,000, 11,000, I believe.
Yeah, this feels like we're kind of like working on a meta battler like level. I mean, the Colosseum is really kind of pulling together the idea that this is a, you know, it's like an interdimensional galaxy quest. Like
you have to have battlers from across multiple forms of reality in order to get the strongest.
And as you're discussing this, Scythe like grabs Niall by the back of the shirt and picks him up, and like it's a direct contrast to what Gabe tried to do with Tiff.
I love that.
And like your monster just picks you up and carries you over to registration and sets you down.
Oh. Ahem. Yes. Sorry. Ahem. Hello. Registration?
Who is fighting, please?
Me? Well, not me. This big chunk of meat right here.
What's its name?
Oh. His name is Scythe Phoenix Song, most powerful warrior the world's ever known.
Scythe Phoenix Song, the most powerful.
And there's a, again, this is a game about contrast, apparently. In contrast to the registration where you got your badges, this apparently older woman is like meticulously taking down the information. Like it's lines where there are boxes to fill in for each individual letter, so it's taking her like an inordinate amount of time to spell out Scythe Phoenix Strong.
Scythe Phoenix Strong?
I meant song, as if the song of the phoenix, Scythe, because he raises song, all our spirits up.
The most powerful warrior who ever lived, he raises our spirits up?
Yeah, sure. Yes.
Okay.
My name... And then
I don't care what your name is, sweetie.
I know. I didn't know if you needed the trainer's backstory or not. I am a gym leader, basically, in this, after all.
She is. You're just talking away, and she's just working on filling out all of this.
What's your name? You look like one of my characters in my original fan fiction.
Oh, Niall,
what?
Buddy. Rahul's just over here like,
what's the matter? Has he got the chill or something in my coat?
No, it's
so anyway,
fine.
You can find my account, my old Tumblr. It's still around, but
mine is Rito, R-I-T-O. Okay?
Rito. Okay. Rito is Bye. That one. But if you want to find my problematic
Rito.
Tumblr, you can find it.
Mine is Rito.
Tumblr.com/
he's not correct in her
inappropriate dating that
the thing got filled in. That's fine.
I love it.
Are you listening? Are you still listening?
Okay, you're both registered to fight. You too.
And she lifts up her fingers and points to Max and Rahul.
Are yours fighting or are you sitting this one out?
Up to you.
You want to answer first, Max? Or do we like look at each other like we're in it?
Yeah, I think we look at each other and we're both like kind of like Max is feeling out like, are you gonna do this? Are we I don't think we're either of our monsters are really fighting.
He's on theme song duty.
The seats are that way. Get out of line.
Yeah. I want to turn back to.
I'm kind of doing like
turn a, back to the, this older yeah. woman and be like, "Is there like, is there someone? Is there someone announcing this fight? You got some kind of who's like refereeing? Like who's announcing?
Is this not your referee. First monster fight? Go sit down
now." No. I've been to so many monster fights. Really?
Oh, I thought you were telling her no that you weren't going to go sit down.
Oh, no. No, he is definitely not moved at all towards.
How do you attack? I would like to attack this. I'm kidding.
I bite. I punch. Robert all right. punches.
Let's go, Tabasco.
A person, an older dude in kind of like, you know, a really, you know, those football refs that look like they lift entirely too many weights.
Of course,
yeah. Reference
I understood. A reference I understood. Yes.
The obscenely buff football referee walks over and like grabs the cards and like looks at them. And obviously can tell who's who immediately based on what's written down on the cards.
Mm-hmm.
Your bout's up next. Any last minute preparations? Get them done. You, bird, you're in the red corner. You, sword, you're in the blue corner. And like the they're actually like it's just sort of an open, big open area, right? Like the entire space is probably like. Take two basketball courts and set them side by side. So there's like space for this. And the corners were actually painted like red around one side and blue around the other.
Oh, nice. Yes. Nice.
Hot. Nice. Cool. So they're fighting each other.
Hey, two of you stick together. Okay. Don't go wandering off. Stay in the area.
Yeah, this will cool. be... We're just going to,
this is where the monster fight is. Where would I go?
Yeah.
I don't talk to any weirdos who seem older. Oh, like
fair,
but I think that's like
yeah.
So you know, I can't control what Scythe does. Scythe kind of just does what Scythe does, and it's kind of like what I would think. But like, I don't control him. But like, he's just gonna go wild, and it's gonna be cool. Okay. I promise.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And wait, isn't Niles also like? Like 17, like he's older even than me, right?
I got aged down to 15.
He's 15. Okay. I thought that you were older than
that
me
was
for a second.
The other,
I was
you
say,
were thinking I got the next arc when the time skip happened, but right now we're still 15.
I got aged down.
An older version of Niall comes back from the future.
It is, yeah.
I got aged down.
I'm actually
it's an easy mistake
17.
To make.
At first, my character was 17, and then the fandom just absolutely attacked me, so we retconned it to 15.
You, not
I was going to start a little thing about like weirdness with getting older, but I think 15, no, because I don't want to ruin anything for the other two.
Niall is 35, for the record.
Miles, of course. So Gabe heads over to the red corner, and... Just like he's got like a hoodie on, and he just like takes it off and just kind of tosses it down to the side and starts like working his shoulders a little bit. Like, okay, it's gonna happen.
Yeah, we got this, boss. I'm gonna hit him in the. Wait a second, where should I hit him?
So there's actually rules for this.
Oh,
yeah. So you are essentially your monster's tactic. Tactician, okay. Right? Monsters are very strong and they are big and can easily like try and figure out like they can hit real hard. But to know where to hit most effectively and sort of what to do, that's harder and you've got to help them out with that. So each of you, this is for Niall and for Gabe, can make a brains plus notice roll. When scoping out the other monster.
Okay.
So basically the way that this is going to work is if you get any matches, I'm not worried so much about the difficulty. You just have to succeed. If you get lower, say your height is closer to 1 or 2 or 3, you're going to get a little information. The higher up you get, you're going to get more information. if you don't get any matches, you're going to have to just go with your own in-character conjecture about what your monster should do in the fight.
Okay.
So, brains plus notice. For
brains plus notice.
Yep. And I just want to see what you're getting in terms of matches.
I got zero matches.
Okay. And Niall, what'd you get?
I have a 5 in brains, but nothing in notice. So I roll
5 dice.
5 dice.
Just okay. The 5. Yep.
Got you. Clickety claggety clap.
That's like the third time you've rolled no matches, Brant.
Yeah, yeah. I'm worried.
Oh, I got one. I got a match.
Whoa!
I did it. What's the game?
What's the number that matched?
4.
4. So, not the best, oh. But also not the worst.
Sounds like Niall.
So,
does it? Tiff is here.
So, as you are looking across at Rito, you can tell that the jaws are a problem, right? The mouth is real big, and that scythe, for as strong as scythe is, should probably avoid being hit by that if at all possible.
Yeah.
And you can tell that something is going on with its eyes, like the dead pools that they are, but you can't quite figure out what.
So I have essentially noticed what that mouth do, though, and also something's going on with them peepers.
Mm-hmm. Jeepers and also creepers.
And I say, Scythe, look out! The mouth, though.
Just.
And that's it.
Like, to you, Gabe, you see a weeb-ass anime character in front of you, and you're like, I don't know what the fuck to do with this. I guess he's got a sword.
You know what? Just hit him hard. Hit him with everything you got. We want to end this quick.
So, we are about to go into a monster fight. There are a couple of things to note about this. So this is, because this game works sort of in a montage-y kind of way, right? Everyone takes actions all at the same time. And since we have two characters who are not directly participating in the fight, here's how this is going to play out. The monsters are going to fight each other. That's straight up down rolls. Like, you just get to each pick a big pool of dice, say what you're trying to do to the other monster, and then roll, and the highest width goes, has that action take place first, and we're just going to play that out. You other two, you can take actions to assist one or the other, right? From where you are. You cannot do so with your monster unless you have a share ability, because, right, monstrous interference is not allowed in a monster v. monster fight. So you have to be subtle about this. So in Max's case, I imagine that theme music is going to come into play. And I would imagine, Rahul, that you have a better chance of spotting where something should be hit. So it can just sort of be in the form of hit him in the, you know, whatever, right? So think about all this stuff in character. Think about something that while the monsters are doing stuff, you can be contributing to the narrative mechanically as well as narratively. Because I want to make sure that we're all just involved in this and it's not just a big ass monster fight with, you know, just two monsters duking it out.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And us assisting would just be like rolling and seeing if
you've got it. And,
so same mechanics. And just...
So you're going to say what you want to accomplish with your assist. We resolve everything all at the same time, the same way. And so if you get a set that gets broken because you may have opposition in the crowd who's like shouting you down or whatever, because I'm going to roll too. And since I don't really have any NPCs in the fight, I'm just going to be rolling to see what set I get. And I'll apply them narratively as it seems appropriate.
Yeah. Sounds great.
So my character is the rest of the crowd, essentially.
Yeah.
Fair.
And they're all angry, sweaty anime conjo.
Yeah, pretty much. With a real undercurrent of like people who are betting on monster fights. So like there's a real skeevy vibe here. In fact, as you're looking through the crowd, And Gabe, I think this probably hits home for you more than the others, although everyone feels this to one degree or another. You see some adults to a teen.
Okay, I was gonna
ask. To a teen, there are adults who have monsters with them in the crowd.
Go.
And these people, and again, I'm talking, when I say adults, I'm talking they're 21, 22, maybe in their late 20s, right? They don't look good. And it's hard to put your finger on exactly why, but when you look at their monsters don't look good either. There's a point in time when you age out of having a monster, but you're holding on to it. It's like that the high school quarterback longing for his glory days, but you've got a phantasmagorical companion who is along for the ride. It's with whom you share a psychic bond. Like
that's sick.
Yeah, it's gnarly and it's sad. But there are people here who are in that particular boat. Like there's one guy who's sitting there with like a teddy bear with like stitched over X'd out eyes and claws, but like the stuffing is all falling out of it and the fur is all like matted and covered in dirt, like it just hasn't been taken care of. And it's like we're talking about an 8-foot tall teddy bear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a woman who has like a Barbie whose proportions are even more out of whack than Barbie. Like her waist is about as big around as a half dollar. And like you can tell that it's probably gotten worse as this woman has gotten older. They're there. And it's just this weird vibe that's running along with everything else that's going on here. It makes y'all a little uncomfortable to look at them.
Big Sid from Toy Story energy happening here.
Yep. Yeah. Very much so.
They're the dark ones.
Yes.
I think Gabe like comes up like kind of like behind Pajarito and like gives him like a hug around, like it's an awkward hug because Pajarito's way bigger than him now. Mm-hmm. And kind of like pats him on the chest and is like, okay, we'll do this and we'll be done. We can get this taken care of and we'll be done. Okay, I love you. I know we can get this done. And he's got like full on tears in his eyes because he's like seen like all of this.
And the giant bird like looks down at you and in like this very oddly solemn moment for your monster says, yeah, you got a bus.
Yeah.
You got it. And now we can cut to Niall.
Niall is going, hey, fuck that thing up. Thing's got like a weird mouth, so I want you to be really careful around its mouth. But like, you got.
I will avoid
sword.
Its sharp incisors.
Exactly. And just, you know what to do. Wow. Mm-hmm. And if you die, you know, that's part of your quest.
So.
Like, if these things died, like, do we?
here is how this works. So...
Here
are the rules. There is if you want to follow along, I'm on page 53 of the PDF as the PDF is numbered, because with the design of this I can't actually see a page number. This is making the other monster say uncle. So monsters don't like to keep fighting after they get really messed up. Each time one of a monster's hit locations is totally taken out, that's reduced to zero dice, you, the kid, have to make a face plus charm roll to keep fighting. If the roll fails, the monster gives up and quits fighting and it has been defeated. So, that's the most important thing. If your monster keeps going and a location has been taken out, then the damage, if it hits it again, it rolls up or down to a different location, my choice.
Okay.
Keep in mind, you can take defensive actions if you have a body part that says defend, right? So you can block some of the hits and gobble up what they're doing. But page 51 is kicking butt and taking names. Find that real quick. 45, 51. When the other monster gives up, your monster takes a nasty bite out of its opponent. It inflicts a single scar to any hit location of its choice, and even better, your monster gets to keep the chomped out die for himself. So he can add it to one of his hit locations gain one of the powers, maybe, right? So if your if Phoenix Song hits the big belly that can swallow things and chomps out that die, then maybe Phoenix Song can do the same thing. So like you can steal powers from other monsters.
Cool.
And if you convince your monster to keep fighting and three adjacent locations get taken out, the dice don't just get chomped, the monster steals your relationships.
No!
Oh, what?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is also of import when you are doing this fighting. If you want your monster to have more than 10 dice or have more dice, you can let it borrow your relationships. So. Just
give up your relationship with your brother to make your monster fight hard.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, my God.
No. Right.
No.
No.
With that, we are ready to transition to the monster fight.
All right.
This episode of One Shot features music from the following artists: The Found by Lone Canyon, Up Up and One Up by 8-Bit Era. This episode of One Shot was edited and sound designed by Tracy Barnett. You can find more of their work online anywhere at The Other Tracy.
In the universe of Star Wall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Star Wall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Star Wall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more. As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest OneShot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod, or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at GameMaster@OneShotPodcast.com. OneShot is a production of the OneShot Podcast Network in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes.